Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading verse 6 of Luke chapter 2. Amen. I have already said it's something how that we get into the holiday season so quickly, but there's nothing wrong with talking about the birth of Jesus Christ all year long. Amen. I've got no problem with getting into that. That part of it, as far as really looking at the birth of Christ and what Christ has done for us. And we're going to touch on that just a little bit this morning in your hearing. And in fact, this is a reading part of what we've often called the Christmas story here in the book of Luke. And really we've got a couple of thoughts about that and about what we need to be really what we need to be telling all year long. And so that's the reason I believe it's probably good to go ahead and preach this message this morning. And we feel led of the Lord to go in this direction. If you would stand as we read the scripture, and that'll give you a little break. You've been sitting for a while. Amen. I'll never forget I heard a preacher say one time, he said, "Preacher, I just don't know about all that preaching, all that stuff you've been a-preaching." He said, I just can't sit for all that. He said, "Well, you can stand the whole time if you want to." Amen. I said, "I just can't sit for all that, all that kind of preaching you're doing, all that. I can't stand all that." Well, I guess he couldn't stand or sit. I don't know. But anyhow, we ought to take heed to the Word of God, aren't we? Amen. Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 6, the Bible says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on His Word. Amen. Brother Johnny, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for the good, humble prayer. And I don't know about you, but I love hearing, amen, the Christmas story over and over again. And in fact, I want to say, that's the title of our message, A Story Worth Telling Again and Again. A Story Worth Telling. Amen. I'm reminded that I believe it was maybe on Wednesday night, Brother Wayne testified, and he's not able to be with us. He's working this morning, but Brother Wayne testified about how that he remembered sharing with his girls and telling them the Christmas story and reading it year after year and just thanking God for the opportunity of just telling this old story over and over again. And in fact, I want to kind of focus on that for just a little bit, because we read through it, and you know, sometimes when you hear the scripture saying, you know, they told that story, or they told about the story, or they talked to one another, really, there's a lot more in the conversation than what we're reading right there in the scriptures. In fact, if you think about it, maybe every time you've seen this story, you see the shepherds on the hillside, you see the angel come and speak to them, and then they go to the manger, and the scene's pretty quiet there at the manger. And I guess that's all right, because, you know, I've often said before, where the Word of God's silent, it's good for us to be silent. But let me just use your imagination this morning and think about, there must have been more said than what's said in the Scriptures here. Because the Bible tells us that these shepherds left with a great story to tell. Amen. And I mean, you could say, well, really, preacher, I know they had a great story to tell. I mean, there was angels on the hillside. Amen. That don't happen every day. Amen. Here these shepherds are, and unto God, they're just taking care of their sheep. And all of a sudden, here's angels coming down from heaven. In fact, one begins to speak to them, and then a whole choir of them shows up, praise God. I mean, the Bible says a heavenly host saying, glory to God in the highest. And amen, here it comes to these lowly shepherds. And what a beautiful picture that later on, we don't know how long. It could have been a year later. It could have been a year and a half later. It could have been, it was somewhere less than 2 years. But somewhere around a year or 2 years later, the wise men came. Or maybe they even started their journey back when the birth of Christ happened. I don't know. But anyhow, a couple years later, God speaks to these very influential men, these very wealthy men. And so on the one hand, you got God speaking to a bunch of lowly shepherds that probably didn't have a lot of money. Then you got on the other end, God speaking to a bunch of men that could have been kings somewhere in the far east. Ain't that good that God says He's reaching out to all? Amen. Don't matter who you are. Don't matter what your occupation is. Don't matter how much money you got. Don't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Doesn't matter what country you're from. None of that matters. God's trying to speak and to reach to people and to tell them this story. Amen. Tell them this story. That's a story worth telling, praise God. Amen. There's a story worth telling. Again and again. I want to say, first of all, there's a story worth telling of His glorious birth. That's what we see here in this passage right here. There's a story worth telling of His glorious birth. Thank God He came to this earth. In fact, it's prophesied all through the Old Testament. It's something to see people just ignoring the Word of God and not seeing where that it's clear in the Scriptures. I mean, the Bible tells us that unto us a son is given in Isaiah. And the Bible tells us a child is born. And that's what happens here in the manger. That's what happens here. 2,000 years ago, the Lord came and was born on this earth. You might say, well, preacher, why in the world? I mean, we're talking about the King of Glory. We're talking about God Himself, God in flesh. Why in the world wasn't He born in the palace? Why wasn't He raised by the kings, such as Moses was, as He was raised by Pharaoh? Well, I guess that's another picture that He can reach down to the lowest of men. He can reach down to the lowest of women. He can reach down to the lowest of people, and He can bring us up to His level. Praise God. That's what God does. In fact, that's a picture at the cross. He's reaching down to the sinful man. When I couldn't reach up to Him, He reached down to me. And He brings us up to salvation at the foot of the cross. Praise God. The Bible tells us over and over again about the sinfulness of man. It says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, sir, He reaches down to the sinfulness of man, because He came and He took upon Himself a robe of flesh. But yet He reaches up to the holiness of God, because He was very God in the flesh. He never ceased to be God. You say, I can't understand that. God never told you to understand it. God never told you to figure it out. He just told you to believe it. Amen. Just believe what God says in His Word. He said that He reached down to the lowliness of man, and at the cross of Calvary, He bridges the gap between the sinfulness of man and the holiness of God. What a blessing. Well, maybe I'm trying to get ahead of myself a little bit, but think about this story at the birth of Christ. Here He is. Look in the passage we read. In verse 17, the Bible says, now this is after that the angels had already appeared to the shepherds. This is after they take their journey and they find this barn. they find this stable. Somebody said in that day it'd probably be an old cave that's hewed out of the mountain somewhere. And so they go back in behind the motel. Amen. They go back in behind the rooms that people paid for that were staying there because of the great crowd that had come to Bethlehem. Everybody had to go to have a census, if you will, and to go to be taxed. And they all went back to the place of their birth. And so it was crowded and there wasn't no room in the inn. And the innkeeper said, only thing I got left is a little place back here that the animals stay at. And they cleaned out a trough where that the animals fed out of, and that was where, that's a manger. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ was laid, there in that manger. Well, they come to this scene, and they're not looking to get them a room. I don't know if they come by that innkeeper that day. I told you to use your imagination. Now think about it. I don't know if they come by that innkeeper. These shepherds might have come up there, and they said, now boys, we ain't got no room. Said, we ain't looking for a room. We're looking for somebody. Amen. They said, well, all right, let me check the registry. No, he's back behind here. Amen. So they go back to the stable and they find the Lord Jesus Christ. They find Mary and Joseph there. They come and they worship the Lord. They see him there. The Bible tells us that if you look back in the scriptures before the passage that we read, actually the Bible says that, in verse 7 where it tells us that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. So we assume that probably when the shepherds got there, the scene was just as it was there in that verse right there. That there they were back in that barn. There they were back in that hole. There they were back in that cave. And the baby was laying in the manger, in the trough, if you will. And there was Mary and Joseph. And they come to the Lord and they come before Him. And the Bible tells us that in verse 17, listen to what the Bible says. They came with haste. In verse 16, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Notice that. The saying that was told them. And the Bible said in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And the Bible says that Mary kept all things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The Bible says in verse 17 that there were some things made known to them and told concerning this child. In verse 18 it says they heard it and they wondered at those things that were told them. When others told, the shepherds began to tell others. And then in verse 20 it says, the shepherds returned praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I don't know about you, there's nothing recorded about what was said over there in that manger. There's anything recorded about what happened when Mary and Joseph is there and the baby is there and the shepherds are there. And all the animals are there. I can imagine, and I know good and well, after somebody has a child, they're excited. Amen. They're happy. There's rejoicing. And I mean, unto God, if there's any time to be rejoicing and being happy, here's the Son of God. Here's one that, I mean, the angel had done appeared. Praise God, the angel had done appeared. Gabriel had already talked. I mean, Gabriel had come down from heaven and had already talked to Mary. And told her, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. And now everything's happened exactly like the angel said. God had already come by to Joseph and spoke to him in a dream and told him what would happen. And told him everything's going to be all right. You go ahead and take Mary. God's going to bless. And the Bible tells us that he told him in a dream, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now you think about it. I don't reckon it was quiet back up there in that manger. Amen? I reckon they was rejoicing. I reckon Mary said, Mary probably told, hallelujah. Mary probably told the shepherds about the angel coming by. They said, well, glory to God, ain't that something? That's the reason we're here now. Amen? I mean, she said, that's the reason we're here now, because we seen an angel. Mary said, well, praise God, I seen Gabriel. Who'd you see? Amen? He said, Gabriel talked to Mary, and Joseph probably spoke up and said, well, an angel talked to me too, praise God. Amen. It was in a dream, an angel spoke to me. I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, there must have been a lot of conversation going on. Well, what'd the angel tell you? Well, the angel... Can you imagine the joy that must have been there? Can you imagine about this story that was told over and over and over again about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Bible tells us that the shepherds left praising God and having favor. Thank God there's a story worth telling, amen? There's a story worth telling. It's worth telling over and over and over again, praise God. Well, let me give you an example. Amen. This is just an example. I've been reading through the book of Acts. I know we had this in our Bible school lesson not too awful long ago, or well, sometime this year, I reckon. Back up to when we was in chapter 13. We're in chapter 28 now. But chapter 13, the Bible says that when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles sought that these words they'd done preached. Now think about this. They'd done preached there, Paul and Barnabas, and the Bible says, and when the Jews were come out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Now, I know these folk wasn't Baptists. Amen? What are you talking about? So they came and they gathered together, and after the service was over, they said, "Preacher, can you come back and preach that message next week?" Amen? Most of the time you get done, everybody say, "I heard enough of that." Amen? Go on to something else. Amen. Reminds me of the evangelist who came in to preach a Bible meeting. And Lord God, he got in there and, man, he preached a good message on Monday. Man, he preached on sin. And he just nailed it down. He come in on Tuesday night and he preached the same message. He came back Wednesday night and he preached the same message. He come in Thursday and there's a lot of folks asking him. He said, "Preacher, you preached the same message all three nights. Why ain't you going on to another message?" He said, "Well, when you repent of that first message and get right, I'll go to the next one." Amen. Lord God, that'd be rough, wouldn't it? But anyhow, here's a crowd. He said, "Hey, come back and preach the same message. We want to hear you next Sabbath day." Again, preach again, praise God. He said in verse 23, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." They begin to talk, and then the Bible says in verse 44, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God." Ain't that something? They came and they preached a message, and then there was so much conversation about the message from one week to the next that the whole crowd came. Almost the whole city came to hear the message. You know what? We've got a story worth telling. We ought to be telling it. We ought to be proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Not only, let me say, there's a story worth telling of His glorious birth, but second of all, there's a story worth telling of His sinless life. Amen? He lived on this earth, and like I said, He was born in a lowly stable there in that manger and placed in that lowly stable, and what a low estate and how sad it is. But, you know, the Lord just came down to our level. Praise God, and we couldn't get up to where He was. He came down to where we are. And that's the reason He can reach down, like the picture is of that Good Samaritan. He can reach down in the ditch. When we're over in the side ditches of life, He can reach down there in the ditch and He can pick us up. And He can take care of our wounds. And He can make everything right in our life, thank God. Well, when He came to this earth, He lived a sinless life, though. I mean, even though He went through all the temptations and everything that we did, let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, "We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." The Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Scripture goes on to tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 21, it says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The Bible tells us that He was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Hey, the story we can tell, praise God, is of His birth, His glorious birth, over and over again, not just at Christmas time, not just in December, but praise God, all year long we can tell about His birth. We can tell about what He's done, how He came to this earth, how glorious it was. Then not only that, we can tell about his life. I mean, the Bible tells us because he lives. And we sing this song, because he lives, we can live also. Because he lived the life for us. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, I really have no hope within myself. I mean, the only time that things are right in my life is when they're lined up with the Lord Jesus Christ. When they're lined up with the will of God in my heart and my life. And there's times that I'm not right with God. There's times that I fall short of the glory of God and I sin. But thanks be to God, the old account's been settled at the cross of Calvary. It's already been taken care of in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that a blessing? Hey, I want to tell you, we need to tell that story over and over again, that Christ lived a sinless life. Some will try to tell you he was just a good man. Some will try to tell you, and I agree, he was. Amen. Some will try to tell you he was a good teacher. I say amen to that. Many times they said rabbi, and that means good teacher. And master, if you will. And some will try to tell you he was just a prophet. Well, he was a prophet, praise God. But he was more than a prophet. He was more than a man. He was more than a teacher. He was more than a good man. He was the God-man. Amen. He was the God-man. Scripture tells us over and over again about the holiness of God. In fact, there's one passage that tells us about him coming, really, and he came in, and being taken upon himself the form of man, but yet in as far as God, he was that holiness unto God. And there was not a time that he sinned. We read a while ago, he was without sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Every one of us, falls short of the glory of God. Every one of us, we come short of God's glory and we sin. You say, well, preacher, how in the world am I going to get fixed up? You got to come to Jesus. There's no other way. You can turn over a new leaf. Amen. And folks, we look at January, don't we? Oh, Lord God. How many, listen, well, what'd you do in January of this year? How many resolutions did you make? How many things did you say you was going to do that you didn't get done this year? Amen. Now don't drop your head and get all depressed. I mean, look up here. I mean, you think about it. There's a lot of things we'll say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Man, I'm going to take care of this. And we look back and we didn't do much of it or we didn't get it done. And maybe we did, and praise God for that. Go ahead and pat yourself on the back if you did. But you think about it. It doesn't matter how many times we turn over a new leaf. It's the same leaf. Amen. It doesn't matter how many times we rehabilitate. We're rehabilitating the same person. But God doesn't call us to do that. He says he wants you to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. God wants to come and create in you. God wants to come and live inside of you. The Bible tells us Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a blessed privilege we have. Because then, when God looks down on us, he doesn't see our sinfulness, but he sees a Savior. He sees the Lord standing as our advocate. He sees the Lord as our go-between. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. That's the reason he can be our mediator, because he's the God-man, thank God. Amen. That's a story worth telling over and over again. That's a story worth telling again and again. Then let me give you this last of all. Amen. Y'all supposed to say amen last of all, especially if you get it at 10 till 12. Praise God. I'm about to find another point or something to put in here. Listen, and when I get done, I know you're going to say, preach it again next Sunday, preacher. We love it. Praise God. Preach it again next Sunday. Amen. Amen. I don't understand some of these singers. I mean, singers get up here and they'll say, sing that last verse again. I ain't never heard nobody say, preach that last point again. No, they'll say to them singers, sing that last, sometimes they'll say, sing that whole song again. Amen. But, you know, they don't tell the preacher to preach that message again. We done heard enough of that, praise God. But, you know, sometimes we need to hear it over and over again, don't we? Amen. We need to hear it. We need it rehearsed in our mind, if you will. In fact, that's what the Bible tells us in 1 Peter. It talks about bringing these things to our remembrance. Because we're just feeble. We forget, and God brings it back to our memory. surprises me a lot of times. You preach, I mean, I'll be preaching something and I know I preached on it and I hit on it and I thought I hit it good. I thought I covered it. I thought I nailed it to the wall. And then the evangelist comes in and preaches the same thing. And folks say, praise God, that's what we needed. Amen. Well, I'm glad you come in and preach that. And I shake my head. I say, I've been preaching it for 2 months. They wouldn't listen to me. But praise God, it's good when we finally get it, ain't it? Amen. It's good when we get it. But you know, we need to hear it over and over again. We need to hear the message over and over again. We need to hear the same old story. That's the reason it's a blessing. Praise God, you can take some tapes of folks preaching years ago and take messages of folks who preached a long time ago. Maybe sometimes I've read some messages over 100 years old, folks, and they're just as real today as what they were 100 years ago. They're just as right on track, praise God, right now as what they was 100 years ago. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He doesn't change. Praise God. Well, anyhow, lastly, I'm back to lastly, finally. Amen. A story worth telling of His glorious birth. A story worth telling of His sinless life. And then last of all, a story worth telling of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a story worth telling over and over again. That's what it's all about. We was talking about missionaries earlier, and we took up the missions offering in the before we dismissed to the Bible classes. We took up the missionary offering and talked about the missionaries and everything. And thank God that we're able to get the gospel out. We're able to be a part of putting doing something there to reach somebody around the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing something to reach folks with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Cherryville. Amen. And the surrounding communities and where God's put us, praise God. And we ought to stay busy doing that, because that story never, never, never will grow old, praise God. The story of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to tell it over and over and over and over again. Amen. You're going to get that title of story worth telling again and again and again and again. You don't have to write all those agains on there. Amen. But it is, praise God, it's worth telling. Over and over again. Boy, I'm glad I heard it one day, praise God. I'm glad I heard a preacher preach the Word of God. Preach the truth of God's Word. I'm glad I heard an old-fashioned Bible-believing preacher open up the King James Bible and preach to me the truth of the Word of God. Amen. We need to hear the truth, don't we? Amen? Let me give you a couple verses. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And Paul said, listen, I'm not ashamed to tell it. I'm not ashamed to spread it. We've been studying about him in the Bible school. Hey, over and over again, he went everywhere he went, and he was glad he had an opportunity to tell about Jesus Christ. He was glad he had an opportunity to tell the old, old story, the same story he had told in the last town, the same story he told in the town before that, the same story he was going to tell wherever God put him till the day he died, the same story he was telling about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What a blessing. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? What is the gospel? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein ye stand." I mean, some churches say, well, the gospel, there's, somebody said there's four gospels. Some woman sometimes said there's four gospels. And she said one of them was the gospel of Jesus Christ, and one of them's the gospel of the second coming, and one of them's the gospel of the Holy Spirit, and one of them's the gospel of healing. And, that's not really true. You know, the Word of God, I mean, we could say the whole Word of God is a gospel, and that's good. But really, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's clear as it can be right here in this passage. He said, I declare unto you, I deliver unto you the gospel. Listen to what he said there. He said, "For which also you're saved, if you keep in memory." There it goes. If you keep in memory. If you don't keep it in memory, what's he going to do? I'm going to preach it again and again and again. "What I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." He said, "For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. in that he, and of course, you know, he had to be born in order to come here and die. And he had to live a sinless life in order to be that perfect sacrifice. So it all goes hand in hand. But the gospel in a nutshell is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he came to this earth, and there was many that looked at the Old Testament prophecies of him being a king, and those will be fulfilled when he comes back the second time. But the prophecies of him coming the first time is a child being born, a son being given. Later the government be upon his shoulder. Later he'll come, he'll be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when he steps foot on this earth again. But he came the first time that he might live that sinless life that you can't live. And you turn your life over to him and he'll live it through you. Somebody say, I can't live the Christian life. You're right. You can't live it, but you can yield to the Lord and let him live his life through you. Amen. Amen. That's the only way to get it done, praise God. Listen, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in that he died for us and that he was that perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and that he was buried and that he arose again the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. Somebody said, y'all not preach on the cross unless you take them on over to the tomb the next 3 days later, because he came out bodily out of the tomb. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, thank God, he arose. We don't need to just preach that at Easter too, do we? We can preach that all year long. The story worth telling of his glorious birth, of his sinless life, and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll be worth it all one of these days that we have stood and we've told somebody about Jesus. It'll be worth it all. Many times I begin to talk to folk and think about areas and times, places we've been. First time I remember somebody coming down an old-fashioned altar, kneeling down and getting saved. When I preached, was down in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Went down to a little church there and preached, and there were some evangelists that were there and everything, but they had a lot of youth coming. They wanted me to preach that night. We seen a few come down and get saved. And praise God, was over to another church in Gastonia after that and seen a few more get saved. And you can just go on and on. Think about times that, and before that, remember personally leading people to the Lord and talking to them about Christ, leaving a gospel tract. And we don't even know how far that reaches. Listen, we heard about a tract Wednesday night. I shared that here at the church Wednesday night, I think it was. Somebody had given, and I don't know which one it was, but some type of a Christmas tract. Here's one of the cover with a little Christmas ball on it. There's one that looks like a little Christmas gift. Amen. The greatest gift they could receive, amen, at this time is eternal life. And then there's another one. But somebody said they received a tract and they had got saved. And then a bunch more people in their family had got saved. It was at least 12 that had got saved as a result of that one tract that was given to one person. Ain't that a blessing? We never know. But I tell you what, it's worth telling the story. It's worth telling the story. It's worth sharing the old story over and over and over and over again. Amen. We can give our testimony of what Christ has done for us. You say, preacher, I'm not saved, or I'm not sure of my salvation. Well, you can make that thing sure this morning. You ought not put it off. I preached last Sunday about one more night with the frogs. And old Pharaoh said, let's just stay there, you know, with the frogs another night, because he told Moses to come back tomorrow and get rid of the frogs. Sometimes we put it off. But we ought not do that. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. One of these days it's going to be too late. Amen. God knows your heart. Amen. Ask Miss Davis if she wouldn't come around with an invitation. The Lord knows your heart. Listen, as she plays and